Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we're going to be talking about Moon Knight feedback. You guys have been sending some feedback over the past couple weeks, and we wanted to hit a little bit of it. All that right off the bat, we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
Ashley, how you doing, my friend?
Matthew, I'm great. How are you?
You know, doing good. Just ready to talk about some Moon Knight. We got a few. Like, we're going to do a real quick episode that we'll to throw in the feed because, yeah, just a few feedbacks here. So let's get on it. Very excited about Moon Knight. Let's see. Garden Allen on Gmail says, "Hey, y'all. On the latest feedback episode, Matt and Jeff read a message from Glenn, who talked about having friends with dissociative identity disorder. I also have two friends with DID. I think it's more common than you might assume. One of the reasons you may get these clusters is that people who have similar trauma often end up finding each other as they grow up. Hence, why a lot of my friends are people who grew up queer in the South like myself. I'm sure there will be lots more talk about DID as we go forward. I would love if y'all had either a mental health professional or someone with DID on the show to talk about Moon Knight and answer questions. I'm excited for the show, but I have some fatigue about using DID as a plot point. I think continuing to tell stories like this can lead to folks seeing it as a fantastical affliction of some sort instead of a real issue that affects real people. I hope Marvel will do it justice, but either way, the show is going to be cool as
beep.
Love you all, and I really appreciate y'all's willingness to listen and learn about this stuff. That's what makes this podcast the GOAT. Cheers, Garden." Thank you, Garden.
I mean, I agree and I kind of disagree at some points. If you say in storytelling not to talk about certain issues or diseases or things that people have, then what kind of exposure is it ever going to get? I mean, this is fantastical for the people who actually have situations like this and do kind of have experiences that I don't understand or other people don't understand. Like, it might not be as fantastical for them. They might actually kind of see themselves in this. I don't know. I think anything that brings awareness to any kind of affliction that people weren't talking about before is good.
Sure. Yeah. I think what Garden's getting at, they say here that they have fatigue, not necessarily that it shouldn't be done, but they have fatigue because of how it's treated as a fantastical affliction. I think if it's treated well, that would probably produce less fatigue. You know what I mean? And they say here that they hope that Marvel handles it better. You know what I mean?
I thought that Legion did it the best because you have to think about, take these characters who have extreme powers and now give them these issues. Like, what, you know, Legion, every one of his personalities had their own set of powers, and it was really crazy.
Right.
And it's just so interesting, you know, to look at it that way. I mean, I completely understand what she's saying, but you know, to take not a normal person who has these things and give it to a superhero, you know, you see a lot of people who talk about like seeing themselves in superheroes.
Oh yeah,
so for it sure. is. Yeah, it is. I'm excited to see how they're going to do it
right
with this, because they've done a good job, I thought, with the Disney Plus shows so far with people with, you know,
like representing, being representational. Yeah. I agree with that. And I'm all for representation. I think with DID specifically, I think the issue is that, like, it's one thing if you're represented, it's another thing if you're sort of mocked, or like if it's not done well, it can come off as like mocking, you know what I mean? Or like, mm-hmm. or a misrepresentation. There's representation and then there's misrepresentation, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, so yeah, I definitely see the Garden's point. That there's a lot of different ways this could be handled, and I hope it's handled well. I know no one with DID, and I can't say that I you know, it's very interesting. Like Garden said, that there's like these you cluster with people that have, you know, similar trauma, similar afflictions, similar identities, whatever. And so like, I'd happily have someone on, either a mental health professional or someone with this experience on the show to talk about the show. So if there's anybody out there that feels like they want to be that representation, hit me up, mcucast@gmail.com.
And bring your receipts. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We don't want to, you know, platform someone who it's always such a weird thing. Wanting representation on a podcast, on any platform, is strange, because it's like, at what point? I think with this, it's a little more direct, because it's like, hey, if you have this experience, let's talk about it.
Right.
Intentionally including representation on a podcast can come off tokenistic, I guess. Like, so it's always a weird, it's always a weird balance when you're like, this show needs someone with this experience to talk about it, because I'm lost. You know what I mean? I'm going to try to do a little bit of educating myself. There was that the documentary that was mentioned in a previous feedback. Oh gosh, I'm going to remember the title here. Nope, these are not even documentaries. What are you doing? I was like, documentary, and then Google was like, Fight Club. I was like, no, Fight Club is not a documentary. And I got Inventing Anna in my head, which is not it at all. That's the new Netflix movie about that lady who was a scam artist.
I watched all of that.
Oh, yeah.
In a day.
I'm like three episodes in. I watched them like
one after the other. I'm obsessed with scam artists.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Busy Inside is being mentioned. That's not the one that was mentioned by someone who wrote in recently, but that is, I did come across that. I just don't have any, and I don't know if anyone vouching for that, unless you are vouching for that right now, Obelus.
Anyway, plowing forward.
Plowing forward. I'm not remembering what that documentary was. Up next, we got Robbie Collings on Gmail says, hello, Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Me and my dad started listening to you guys at the start of WandaVision.
Aw.
Yeah, super cool. We would listen to episodes on our way to the mountain to go skiing. How dark do you want the Moon Knight series to be, and how dark do you expect it to be? Super hype for this show. Hope we get Midnight Suns in the future of the MCM. Have a good week. Thanks, Robbie.
I feel like we answered this.
Yeah, well, on our last episode, we did actually talk a good bit about, like, how dark do we want the MCU to be? And it's funny, because one of the things we were discussing was, like, parent and child relationships and how watching these movies together. And Robbie is writing in saying, I watched this with my dad. How dark do we want this? I want Midnight Suns. I'm assuming that Robbie would like it to be pretty dark.
Yeah.
If he's a fan of Midnight Suns and wants it to go to that place. Yeah, I would like there to be a place in the MCM for it to get as dark as anyone wants to get. That's my answer. I would like that other certain parts of the MCM stay friendly for families to watch together. And I'd be okay with certain parts of the MCM being like a kid's show. Like, if they wanted to straight up make a more kid friendly type of show, which they have made more or less kid friendly types of shows. It seems like Miss Marvel might be particularly kid-friendly.
And probably like the Christmas special, the Guardians Christmas special.
Right. I just think there's room for all of it. Mm-hmm. And they need to acknowledge that Marvel fans are not children anymore.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a lot of us out here that have been loving this stuff since we were kids. Mm-hmm. And now we're adults and we want to keep loving it. We want to keep having stuff made for us, not just made for children.
If they didn't tease us with stuff that was, you know, MA so far or dark like that, we wouldn't want it, but they did.
Yeah.
You know, they gave us some darkness.
Yeah, I agree. I would like some darkness in my stuff. I really would. And you know, I think mine and your view, you know, we had this whole conversation about what makes something adult versus kitty a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And after that conversation, I was like, because I couldn't express myself well in that conversation. I was like, I'm not expressing myself well. And I went away. Like we definitely have different, interpretations of what's for kids, you know, like, and we definitely did in that conversation. And I was like, what did I mean? And like, I think for you, for something to be sort of like made for adults, it seems like it needs to have the violence, the gore, the things. For me, it just needs to be, I don't know. It just needs to be complex. Like, it needs to be emotionally complex, I guess. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to have those other things, those really dark elements. And I just thought it was interesting.
It depends, like, because when you bring me Morbius, like we were talking about last time, this is a vampire who lives off human blood. What do you mean it's PG-13? You know what I mean? Even Wolverine, like, they finally started to do it a little bit more in Days of Future Past. But in the original X-Men movies, Wolverine has knives for fingers and he would be messing people up. And all you would see is little bits of their clothes flying around. But no, this is Wolverine. And you have to think, like, comics, they were, sure, for kids, but they were also brutal. Like, they had a brutality to them that you could get away with more because it's animated, which is kind of what I felt like What If started to do, which is why it was actually enjoyable for a couple episodes. For me, it's what the original animated show used to do. But when you try to take these things and be like, okay, your superpower is metal knives like Freddy Krueger, how are we going to bring this to the screen for kids? Like, they're, and I thought they've done a good job, but, you know, a Wolverine movie should always be rated R, you know, just because of what his powers are.
Right.
You know,
well, and then therein lies the issue. And I mean, they do this in comics. They do this in lots of different media, is like when Wolverine shows up in another kind of movie, when a Wolverine comes to an Avengers movie, you have to clean it up enough so that everyone can watch it. And so, like, you gotta have these things. They've done it with different genres now. I mean, there was a lot of discussion about this before Avengers, 2011's Avengers, because people were like, how can you have Iron Man and Captain America and the Hulk and Thor? Their movies are so different. The technology is so different. How do you put them on the screen together? You know? And it just worked. They just made it work.
Yeah.
But this is a different sort of struggle because you have different levels of brutality, different levels of adult content that is allowed in different types of movies. And so it is interesting because I definitely want Deadpool to be rated R. I'm much more comfortable with a PG-13 Wolverine than I am a PG-13 Deadpool, you know?
Ghost Rider, like, he makes a deal with the devil. Like, what?
Right.
We can't make that, you know, we saw what happened with Nicolas Cage. You know, there's just certain things, I don't know, like, you can totally do, you know, the Hawkeye series is perfect. That was right in the middle. You know, it was funny. It had parts for kids, but then you go Blade and you're like, how are you going to put this on the same PG-13 level as even, like, I don't know, Civil War, or like, no, Civil War got pretty dark towards the end.
Yeah, it did.
I think of it like the Harry Potter movies.
Right.
Those movies, like, the more, they got very dark, and I was actually surprised towards the end. I'm like, they're just killing all these kids off. Right. This is freaking crazy. I can't believe this is PG-13.
The books are literally written to be like the first one's written to be read by a 12-year-old, and you're supposed to age up with Harry as you read them,
right?
Which is super great idea. And so they get darker, they get more brutal as they go on. And like that fourth one, when that first like major character dies, and you're like, oh, death exists, and you're like 15, and you have an existential crisis, you know?
Yeah,
like that's what those books are designed to do. And I think that could be done here, but it's weird because there's just like, it's a very different problem because it's like you got people who just want dark now, like yourself, and there's people who want it to be okay to watch with their kids, and it's a tricky issue for sure. But I don't know. I just think that what they did with Defenders worked perfectly, and they should continue to do that. Like, make a corner of the universe that's dark. You can have they did it already. Daredevil showed up in No Way Home. And like, he's there, he exists in the world.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes. Which, you know, results may vary, I feel like, with how they show up, but like, you know, I've said it over. I would love for the next Spider-Man movie for Charlie Cox to be his mentor. Like, that would be freaking awesome.
Yes. Oh my God. I'd love that so much.
And you can have that while having these brutal shows that are his origins, and then you just have him show up and he's hanging out with a teenager. So he's just not gonna, he's like trying to protect him from the brutality of this world, you know, like, mm-hmm. just makes sense. Like, we all live in that world. Like, all of us who are adults, you know, have probably been out to bars in the middle of the night where people are drinking and, you know, having adult conversations, and then you've also been to a kid's picnic, you know, like, and you act differently, you know, like,
yeah,
the world exists with all of these things in it. And like the Marvel world can also exist with all these things in it.
It can.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Up next we have, Tanner Charette. I hope I said your name right. Hey, Ashley, Matt, and Jeff. I started listening to the podcast during the release of Photos and have been listening ever since. I've been reloading my Spotify every morning because this is the only podcast I want to listen to anymore. Oh, thanks, man. Mm-hmm. Anyways, something I've been thinking about ever since we started getting more info about the Moon Knight series. But do you think that Marvel may be leading us towards an ancient creature / mythical beast fighting team? Interesting. Hmm. With the introduction of Blade into the MCU and what appears to be his recruitment of Dane Whitman as Black Knight, it seems that Blade is maybe acting as a Nick Fury and trying to put together a team to protect the world against unknown creatures. Maybe we'll see the recruitment of Moon Knight at the end of the series. We could even see involvement from Shang-Chi, since he has experience dealing with dragons. And I know Ashley will love this, so I have to throw it in. But maybe they could be a team that protects the world from the Marvel zombies. I don't know. Just something I've been thinking about lately and wanted to get the cast's take on it. This maybe wouldn't be the next big villain story, but could be a side story with what we've seen with Guardians of the Galaxy in the past. Anyways, thanks again for giving me something to listen to while at work or walking to class and all the hard work you put in to break down and explain everything Marvel. Hey, thanks, Tanner. Yeah, I think that's a zombies. Great idea. I know Ash is like latching on zombies, but I think this whole idea is up your alley. Like the idea that Blade might be acting as a sort of Nick Fury style character. You definitely see the connection there with like Blade showing up in the post credits and just saying one line, you know. It could be.
I like it too.
And okay, I'm going to talk about, okay, first let me respond a little bit to that. I like it a lot. I think that absolutely Blade works in there, absolutely Moon Knight works in there, and even they're both in London, I believe, or in the UK. Not Blade, but Dane Whitman.
So
it could literally be the same. Like you could totally see Dane Whitman and Blade, or maybe Dane Whitman showing up, kind of like how Nick Fury showed up to present the idea of the Avengers to Tony Stark, and in the next movie it's Tony Stark going to General Ross. You know what I mean? Like right. We could totally get a Dane Whitman going to Moon Knight. They both work, or they both have been in these like museum situations. It just seems like that could totally work out. Like I like that idea a lot.
Yeah,
totally parallels what was going on. And just like he says here, like it doesn't have to be the next big story. It seems like they're building out a lot of little different offshoots for the Marvel universe to go down with this sort of dark universe that's building up. All the magic users are sort of like heading in their direction. All the science stuff with multiverse and Quantumania and like but I think it will all collide together into a big story.
It better.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It has to. It's the Marvel universe, right?
It's all connected.
Do you mind if we talk? I don't think it's a big spoiler, but feel free. We're about to end the podcast. Feel free to cut us off if you don't want to hear a toy spoiler. I wasn't going to include it in the news last episode because we don't normally talk about toy spoilers. But
is it a big toy spoiler?
It's not.
Is it going to spoil it for me?
I don't think so. No. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
But because the only part that's sort of maybe discussive of spoilers is like my speculation. There's a Thor Love and Thunder toy that has been seen like going around on the internet.
Okay.
And it just shows Thor and I guess Jane in their like whatever forms. They're little Lego forms. And they're fighting a humongous monster. That, to me, just looking at the toy, I have no idea what monster it is. And I didn't even see it even being theorized in any articles. But it was in the news when I was, like, collecting news. And so I looked at the picture. But to me, it kind of looks Lovecraftian.
Like Cthulhu-y?
Yeah. Like, it has bat ears, and there's tentacles. I mean, it's a Lego, so, like, it doesn't have...
Isn't that what the Shang-Chi things look like?
Yeah.
Bat ears with tentacles?
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But even if it's not that, you're not wrong that the Shang-Chi stuff sort of lines up with that same sort of Cthulhu horror elements. Cthulhu's sort of like animal body horror things.
Give me all the Lovecraft. Hold the racism.
Yes. We covered Lovecraft Country last year, and man, what a good show. And like,
so good.
Seeing all those Lovecraft monsters got me lit up to watch or like to learn more about Lovecraft stuff. And it seems like, you know, we talked about on the news episode yesterday, the C'thon of it all possibly being brought in. Which is kind of a Lovecraftian monster. And if they've got a Lovecraftian monster also in Thor, and then you've got these bands on Shang-Chi that are some sort of ancient magic that is unknown to Doctor Strange and them. Like, what if it's from like a, and they're holding back creatures that also look, you know, Lovecraftian. Like, you can kind of see where I'm going here. Like, what if, what if C'thon is sort of like the, or like something that's behind C'thon, some sort of like Lovecraftian monsters of the multiverse are converging into, you know, take over the world. And that's sort of like, you know, leeching in from other universes. I don't know. It just kind of reminded me of what Tanner's talking about here with the sort of dark universe stuff. Like, what if Blade sees that coming? Like, he's been dealing with the dark underworld. Blade sees that's coming, so he starts building up a team of like dark creatures.
I love it to
go take on this like multiversal dark creature threat. I like that a lot.
And it's weird to me that the MCU didn't have rights to Morbius. Is it just because they have the rights to all the Spider-Man characters? I'm very confused at where the legality of all that comes in.
That's it. It's just that they have...
It's just that they have the Spider-Man characters.
Spider-Man characters and his Rogues Gallery, which Morbius... whenever they made that decision, Morbius was considered a part of Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery, which I guess he was originally a Spider-Man villain... Originally, or was he?
Yeah, he was a he's an anti-hero. He was a bad guy at first. Right.
I think his first appearance is a, and that's kind of how they do this a lot of times. Is it's like, who are they most related to? And a lot of times the villains just sort of attach to the heroes. And I mean, Venom's also a villain, but they're but who has sort of drifted toward anti-hero over the years in the comics. And now,
it was just depend on who people liked.
Exactly, and so they're doing the same thing where they were trying to do the was it Black Cat as well movie.
Which I'd love.
Yeah. So like, you know, they're trying to do whatever they can to make heroes out of all the properties they have. But I think the thing that Sony needs to realize is they have this untapped resource in like Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire and that those universes now that they can bring into the multiverse that's happening. You know, I'm so pumped about all that.
At least give it to Garfield. I think Tobey's a little tired.
I agree. I agree with that. I think that he could appear again if he wanted
to. This was a lot of fun for him, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But
it looked like he was having fun, but I don't think he wants to like come out of retirement to do it full time or anything. I think he's kind of done.
I think he was the Spider-Man that had the fake butt in his costume.
I did see that story somewhere. Somebody had a fake butt.
I can guess who it was.
I don't know. Yeah, you're probably right.
It's not Tom Holland. You could bounce all the coins off of. How old's he? Am I allowed to say that? He's 25. Ugh, still weird.
I've seen him dance to Umbrella or whatever that was. Yeah. that ass is real.
That little courtesan.
If you haven't seen it, his karaoke, what is it called? Sing off?
It's him and Zendaya.
Lip sync battles. That's what it is. Yeah. Their lip sync battle.
She was really good too. She looked just like Bruno Mars. She did all the dance moves perfectly. I'm like, that's not fair. You're a Disney kid. And then Tom Holland came out and just destroyed her. But he's a ballerina. So you know what? All you kids coming up now, you're just all too talented. I'm tired of these trifectas. I'm a dancer, I'm a singer, and an actor. Sit down.
I won't, we won't spoil it any further. Go watch that lip sync battle. It is just French kiss. It's wonderful. All right, guys. Well, that's about all we got. We just wanted to drop in a quick Moon Knight episode since we had a few feedbacks left from our previous Moon Knight discussions. Just come join us. Send in your feedback to mcucast@gmail.com. We'll be doing a lot more feedbacky things and some commissioned episodes in the coming weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.